just finished with the book of Haggai. If you would, we're looking at the fourth prophecy, the ending verses of Haggai. So if you would, you know what? I forgot to have prayer service tonight, didn't I? That's okay. We'll just do this. We'll just do things a little backwards tonight. These things happen when you get old. When you get a little agey, your mind gets to tracking. Now, we did something a little different tonight. I read mission letters, and then we voted to send a couple love offerings. And so everything was, I was a little out of sorts. But these things happen. It's why I say it's a blessing that we're independent Baptists and not Episcopalians. You know, we're not bound to a formal process. All right, Haggai chapter 2 and verse 21. We went over this last time, but this text goes right along with verse 22. 22 and 23 really go together. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. The chosen king is coming. Verse 23. Now, we know from the records of history that verse 23 was not fulfilled during the days of Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah. The context here is that all the heathen kingdoms were to be toppled and destroyed. And we know that did not happen in the historical time period when the temple was being rebuilt under the civil leadership of the governor of Judah, Zerubbabel. All the heathen kingdoms were not toppled. They were not destroyed. All earthly kings were not subdued. There were no extraordinary or cataclysmic events that occurred in the heavens, the earth, or in the seas, as described in verse 22. Zerubbabel was not installed as king over all the earth. So these verses have to mean something else. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee a signet, for I have chosen thee. This prophecy must of necessity point us to a day yet in the future when these prophecies shall be fulfilled by the descendant of Zerubbabel out of the kingly line of David, extending the Davidic covenant. Now, Zerubbabel was God's signet ring, symbolizing the royal and the kingly line of David, that would continue until the promises of the Davidic covenant were fulfilled literally in the person of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. John MacArthur said this, Zerubbabel as God's signet ring stands as the official representative of the Davidic dynasty and represents the resumption of the messianic line interrupted by the exile. Just as Pharaoh gave Joseph his signet ring and made him second in the kingdom in Genesis 41, so God will do for the Davidic line of kings. The pre-exilic signet of Jehoiachin was removed by God, Jeremiah 22:24, and renewed here in his grandson, Zerubbabel, who reestablished the Davidic line of kings, which would culminate in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So, just learning that and reading the Bible, you have to realize that this did not happen historically when Zerubbabel was... He was not even a king. He was a governor in Judah during the exile. Now, this brings us to how this will be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, has been chosen by God the Father to be the one and only King of kings and Lord of lords, who is qualified and able to reign over all the earth in righteousness. And that's what these verses point to. A time when there will be a theocracy, where there will be a righteous kingdom rule by one ruler, one king, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth will be the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose for the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ was ordained as the spotless Lamb of God to take away the sins of God's elect and to reign as king in their hearts by grace. We know that. That's a truth. That truth regarding the salvation of His people and the fact that He came in the first advent as a king, it does not in any way eliminate the kingdom purpose of God regarding the literal earthly reign of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not the fulfillment of these verses, literally toppling all human kingdoms, all earthly kingdoms, and ruling over all the earth, then we need to take these verses out of the Bible. And all the ones that I read out of Daniel and Psalms last week, because they all point to a time when King Jesus will literally take His place upon the throne of David on the earth and reign for 1,000 years. So, just because one thing is true, it doesn't mean the other can't be true. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, Jesus is He's the everlasting King. But the purpose, God's purpose for the earth, has not been fulfilled yet. It is yet future. Right now, we're not reigning with Him. In fact, I think we're coming into a real serious time when we're going to be suffering with Him in our world. Now, even the glorified saints in heaven will acknowledge this truth, that the King is going to reign on the earth. Their song of redemptive praise includes an understanding that they would reign with Christ on the earth. I know I quote that a lot, but it's such a powerful testament. When you figure in Revelation 5, all right, I believe Revelation 4 is a picture of the rapture of the saints. when John's caught up in the Spirit and he sees the Lord and they're surrounding the throne. And then chapter 5, you have the scene in heaven when only the Lamb of God is able to open the seals of the book, because it's the rights to the earth, and He's the only one qualified to rule and to reign over all. And here's what those glorified saints, every one of these people, singing in Revelation 5, verse 9, they've already received their glorified bodies. They've already, their glorified minds, meaning that they know everything now. The Holy Spirit has opened up their eyes to all the truth, just like Jesus said He would. Now here's what these glorified saints are, what they are doing in heaven. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And notice the tense here, and we shall reign on the earth. Where are they when they're singing that? They're in heaven with their glorified bodies, their glorified minds. They've been conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. When do you find these saints in heaven coming back to reign on the earth? Is there a passage in Revelation that says they're going to do that? Yeah, I read it last week. Revelation 19, we're going to follow Him when He comes to judge and to make war. God the Father clearly states the purpose of earthly dominion that He has appointed for His eternally begotten Son several times through the book of Psalms. Mark these down. Remember these verses, because they all relate to the event that Haggai is prophesying about in this fourth prophecy. Psalm chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. God says, Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Do you get that? He gave him all the elect, and He gave him the uttermost parts of the earth for His possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That's describing when He comes back in the second advent to judge and to make war and to set up His kingdom. Psalm 48, verse 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. All right. Point. Stop. When have wars ceased throughout the entire earth? Has that ever happened? No, it's never happened. There's always been wars. All right, listen. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Again, in the earth, He will be exalted. He will topple all the kingdoms of the heathen and establish a righteous rule upon the earth, a theocracy. I'm not going to read all of Psalm 67. Yes, I am. Go ahead, Psalm 67. I got it in my notes. It says, read Psalm 67. I'm going to obey my notes. It's only 7 verses. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah, that Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations where? Upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. That psalm has never been fulfilled, but it will during the reign of Jesus Christ upon the earth. One more, Psalm 72, verse 7 through 11 and verse 19. In His days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before Him, and His enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba, and I got some typos here. Let me see what that says. 72:11. All kingdoms. The kings of Tarshish and the isles of the shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before Him. All nations shall serve Him. Again, it lines right up with the passage in Haggai chapter 2. And blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Who could fight it? Who wants to fight against that? Who wants to say that that's not going to occur on the earth, that it's not literally going to come to pass, when the Bible states it over and over and over again? Well, all of those passages prove that God has chosen, ordained, and appointed a king to reign on and over the entire earth in righteousness and power. And there is absolutely nothing that can thwart God's purpose for the earth and the reign of King Jesus. God has chosen it. God has appointed it. It must come to pass. God's never gone back or given up on even one promise that He's made. Not even one. Now, I'm going to stop there, and we'll pick up next week. I got a little bit more to go, and then we'll look at the practical observations from this fourth prophecy.